In Mark chapter number 8, I'm going to start by reading our text and then lay the foundation for the direction we're heading here this morning. Mark chapter number 8, if you're there, say amen. 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 Mark chapter 8, verse number 36 and verse number 37. The Bible says here, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Yesterday we held the funeral for Mark Bruno. I know many of you here maybe did not know Mark personally or have a friendship with him, but he did consider Hunt Valley Baptist Church his home, and he came here and loved the friends that he had and made here. It was his wish to have the funeral held here at the church. The flowers that you see down here to my left were given to the church by the family in memory of him, and God gave us a great time yesterday together in God's house, being an encouragement and a help and a comfort to the family and to those that loved and appreciated the life that Mark lived. But yesterday, Scott, Mark's brother, stood up and gave testimony to Mark's life. And one of the things that he was known for is sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus. And he, although by his own testimony and the testimony of family, he had his own struggles. He had his own battles, like any of us do. And he said, "You know, I know that I'm not doing this right or this right, but I also know that I'm supposed to be doing this." And he says, "I'm going to keep doing this because I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing." And he continued to share the gospel with the many people. And Scott stood here yesterday and talked and challenged the people with this verse that I just read to you. He told everybody present, "Listen, don't lose your life. For what is it if you gain every single thing in the world, every oil drop in every single oil well and every gold in every mine, if you gain it all? What have you got if you lose your own soul?" I was able to stand up afterwards and present a brief message talking about was Mark's passing timely or untimely? Many times when somebody passes away unexpectedly, we can say it's an untimely death. But I used the word of God and showed how God is in control of the number of our days. And every day is numbered since before the day you're born. And we know that. And so it was timely because God knew it was God's time. God was directing. I encouraged all those that were present to prepare to meet God. You see, it was timely for Mark because he was prepared to meet his God. And what was amazing to me, at the conclusion of the service yesterday, there was around 7 hands raised of people by their own testimony. They said, "Pastor Caleb, I am not ready to meet God." They raised their hand and publicly testified and said, "I'm not ready to meet God." And then when I gave the opportunity and said, "Would you like to be ready? Would you like to get ready? The Word of God tells us how we can. Would you be willing to let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be ready to meet God?" When the plea went out to take that step, nobody moved. I sat in awe. I don't think they didn't move because they didn't want to be ready. I think they wanted to be ready, but you understand that there was a spiritual battle taking place for the souls of men. There was spiritual warfare taking place. And in their heart, like many of you in your life can look back at times when spiritual warfare was taking place in your heart, when you knew the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ was true and you should trust him. But on the other hand, the devil was working to pull you away and keep you from making that decision. At the conclusion of the service, I encouraged them to speak with somebody about their eternal destiny before it was eternally too late. And we closed and dismissed, and we went downstairs for a time of encouragement and eat some lunch together. I was able to speak with many of the family and to some of those that raised their hand. One gentleman stood next to the desserts with me, and we talked for a few minutes, and he said, "You know, I've never been much for the believing thing. I've never really got into or believed and whatever, you know, like you're talking." He said, "But you gave me a lot to think about today." And I had the privilege to talk to him for a few minutes. But I told him this. I said, "You know, many times I've had this conversation with men like yourself or with a lady, and I've given them the example of this. And I said, if you give me just a minute, could you let me explain this to you?" I said, "You see, you tell me that you've never been much for believing." I said, "But let me ask you this. You see, let's say, just for illustration's sake, let's say we get to the end of my life and we find out that I was wrong, that my belief in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and died for me and saved my soul. Let's find out, just for example's sake, let's say I was wrong, and when I die, I'm put in a grave and it's all over." I said, "Can I ask you, what have I lost?" I said, "To be honest, a few people think I'm goofy because I believe in the Word of God. A few people maybe think I'm funny because I love Jesus. But at the end of my days, I really haven't lost." He said, "That's true. People think you're goofy no matter what you do." I said, "Thank you." He was talking generally, obviously, but I said, "Yeah." I said, "So what have I lost? I really haven't lost anything, right?" And you know what, church family, as I was pondering this last night and thinking about it, I thought, you know what? If all I get out of my faith, if all I ever receive out of my faith is a wife who loves me, respects me, thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world that ever happened to her, if all I ever get is 5 children who love me and respect me and honor me as their father, if all I get is a 17-year-old daughter who comes up to me and says, "Daddy, do you think this is appropriate to wear, or should I throw it away?" If all I get out of my faith is a 15-year-old son who will hardly ever say goodbye, whether on the phone or in person, without saying, "Dad, goodbye, I love you." I'll tell you what, if that's all I ever get, then it was worth it. Amen. Then it was worth it. I'll take that over the mess that this world provides. I'll take that over the fighting and the hatred and the bitterness that many people in this world have to deal with day after day. If all I get is that, then hey, I'll take Jesus every time. I haven't lost anything. If my faith is all foolishness, and I get to the end of my days and none of it was true, I haven't lost anything. But I looked at him and I said, "Can you tell me what you've lost? If the Bible is true, and your lack of belief, you've lost it all. For all eternity. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? He's lost it all. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about what it cost you if you lose your soul. What's at stake for those who yesterday, by their testimony, said, "I'm not prepared to meet God," and then made a decision not to trust Him, not to get ready? What's at stake if you lose your soul? First of all, I want you to understand that it'll cost you heaven. It'll cost you heaven. You see, everybody born will one day die. Outside of the rapture, which the rapture may come, but then it'll be too late. Either way, everybody that's been born thus far has reached a certain age and then passed away. And if the rapture continues to tarry, if God waits till He comes back a few more years or 20 more years or 50 more years, many people in this room will also pass away. You see, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Every one of us must prepare to meet God. Everybody that dies either goes to heaven or goes to hell. And while you're here, you have the opportunity to prepare. And if you should gain the whole world but lose your soul, it'll cost you heaven. Bishop Hooper said, "'Tis true, the night before he suffered his martyrdom, that life is sweet and death is bitter, but eternal death is more bitter and eternal life is more sweet." 'Tis true that life is sweet and death is bitter, but eternal death is more bitter and eternal life is more sweet. You see, friend, the believer goes to heaven. Those that prepared to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8. We are confident. We are confident. And I say, willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have this confidence that we're going to be with God, but not everybody has that confidence. And time after time, we've presented the opportunity for somebody to get that confidence, to have that confidence, and they gave something in exchange for their soul. Maybe it was to save some what they perceived to be shame or pride or embarrassment. They gave that in exchange for their soul. And it'll cost them heaven. What a glorious day that'll be. You see, Christ has taken the sting out of death. The sting of death is sin, and Jesus has conquered sin. He's washed our sin away. He's taken it away. The believer goes to heaven, but the unbeliever goes to hell. In Luke chapter 16, we see the story of the rich man. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And the scriptures tell us in verse number 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, because he did not believe. The believer goes to heaven, and the unbeliever goes to hell. That's what you're choosing when you make the decision to give something in exchange for your soul. Hell is a place of torment. We talked about it in Sunday school briefly at the close when the angels will separate out those that know him and those that don't. Hell is a place of separation from your loved ones. Hell is a place of thirst. It's a place of understanding. You're going to have comprehension. You see, the rich man was in hell, and the Bible says that he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." It's a place where you'll have understanding. He goes on and he says, "Would you send somebody to warn my brothers?" He knew of the torment he was in and didn't want his brothers to be there. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of no return. You say, "Pastor Caleb, this is not a very encouraging message." The good news of the gospel is that you don't have to go there. Amen. That's what's encouraging about it. Yes, it's bad. I mean, hell is a terrible place. And nobody wants to go there. But you understand there's men by the dozens, and yea, even the thousands, that reject Jesus Christ, and they give something in exchange for their soul. But what shall it profit them? Nothing. Each man makes his own choice. But your choice to reject Jesus will cost you heaven. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." But it goes on, what? "And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." If you're here today and you've put off the decision, maybe in times past we've said, "Hey, if you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven, but you're sure you don't want to go to hell, then you could come today." Don't wait another day. Don't wait another day. Yesterday, the battle raged, and there were seven people by testimony that said, "I'm not prepared to meet God." And unless they did something last night, they still this morning woke up unprepared to meet God. And we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next day. The fact is those that left last night could, by this time next week, be in some funeral home or some chapel or some church, and their family gathered around them saying their last goodbyes. And maybe they're still not prepared to meet God. If you're here this morning unprepared to meet God, don't give anything in exchange for your soul. Don't give it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That great salvation is there and it's extended to you, and the opportunity is presented, and we've offered it and we've told you about it. If you one day wake up in hell, I want you to know it'll be your fault. Because God, in his love, sent his Son for you. And he, in his compassion, has extended the invitation to you this morning to trust him before it's eternally too late. It'll cost you heaven, but it'll also cost you a glad reunion. Yesterday, Josh and his wife Erin and their kids stood up here and behind the body of their brother, they sang the song, "A Glad Reunion Day," thinking about the day when they will be reunited together with Mark. You see, as Christians, we know that there is coming a day. There is coming a day where we will be reunited with our loved ones. The words to the song that they sang, if you don't know it, go like this. "There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gathered on that blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. A glad day, a wonderful day, a glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay, that will be a glad reunion day. Do you understand? When you give something in exchange for your soul, it'll cost you heaven, and it'll cost you that glad reunion day. You won't be reunited with the loved ones that have gone on before. I know most of you are like me. You've got family and friends that you value. You've got people that you love and care about. You've got some that you want to be with and want to keep them close. And if for some reason they were taken from you, you would desire to once again be in their presence. Well, you can be because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We will one day be reunited with them, all those that have gone on before, that great cloud of witnesses up in the sky. We're going to be reunited with them. That glad reunion day. When someone passes away, they're saved to be absent with from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. They go immediately there and they wait. They're there enjoying the peace and the joy and being in the presence of God. And they're waiting for us for that glad reunion day when we will join them and be with them. Every single one of you should want everyone you know and love to be part of that glad reunion day. You should desire them to be a part of it. Acts 16:34 says, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his household." That Philippian jailer, I can see him rejoicing over his salvation, but even more so because his whole house was saved. Because all of his siblings and all of his wife and all of his children were saved, and they were going to be in glory with him one day. What a joy that the circle would be unbroken. You should pray for the salvation of your loved ones, of your family, and your friends. Give your friends, if you're here this morning and you haven't made sure of this yet, give your family the greatest life insurance policy you could ever get. Trust Jesus today. Amen. And you'll be reunited with them. What will it cost you if you make a decision to stay in your seat, a decision to put it off, to reject it? It'll cost you heaven. It'll cost you a glad reunion day, and it'll cost you peace now. It'll cost you peace today. You see, Isaiah 1, verse number 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, I know the weight and the burden of the sin in our lives. And those that reject the forgiveness of Jesus Christ are rejecting having that forgiveness, experiencing having that burden lifted off. Having that weight, I mean, how many of you have heard testimony of people that have trusted Jesus Christ and then they looked up and they said, "Oh, it's like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders." How many of you have heard somebody say it? How many of you, maybe you felt it, you experienced it. That weight was lifted off your shoulders. I mean, that burden of sin, that burden and weight that you just can't get out from under. You know, guilt is weighing heavy on your soul. And you understand that giving money in the plate won't remove your burden of sin. Going to church won't remove the burden and the weight of the guilt that is felt. But Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross will take it and wash it away. He'll remove it. Amen. The Bible says that He cast it into the deepest sea, that He puts it behind His back, that He puts it as far as the east is from the west. God said He's removed it from you forevermore. Amen. God's removed that weight of sin. What a joy to be forgiven. Why? What will it cost you? What will it cost you to stay in your seat? What will it cost you to give in exchange for your soul? It'll cost you experiencing, having that forgiveness of God. Those that have experienced to sit in awe and wonder, why would anybody not do it? Why wouldn't anybody want to have that removed? Because that weight of sin pulls us down. What a relief. What a relief. You know, you guys know the song, "There's Power in the Blood"? Let's sing that first verse. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be evil or victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from that burden of sin? There's power in the blood. He removes it from you. He washes it away. And if anybody would give something in exchange for their soul, what they're doing is going to cost them experiencing that peace today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that I will give you rest. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But that burden of sin, it wears you down. It pulls you down. But God can lift it. It'll also cost you being a part of Christ's church here on earth. What a joy it is to have a church family. Amen. That loves you, that cares for you. Gina is here this morning. One of the hardest things to do after the loss of a loved one is anything that you used to do with them, doing that the first time without them. I commend Gina for being in church today.
Amen. Praise God.
And I know the weight she feels is heavy, but what a joy that she's got a church family that loves her. A church family that came up and put her arms around her this morning, said, "We're praying for you." Said, "We care about you. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know." What a joy to have a family like that. What a joy to have a family that week after week after week has prepared food and taken it and delivered it to Doug and Christina Griffin as Doug is fighting for his life in a battle of cancer. What a thrill it is for us as Christians to be able to help a fellow family member. And what a joy it is as Christians to be a part of the church. Isn't it good?
Amen.
And those that would reject Jesus and give something in exchange for their soul, they've lost that. They've given up on that. They don't have that. The unbeliever is in the dark. He doesn't understand how grand it is to have a family to walk through the trials of life with, to have a family to bear you up, to give you strength in your hour of need. By the way, church family, how are you doing on your responsibility as part of the family? Have you been carrying one another's burdens? Have you been praying for your family members? Have you been helping those in need? Have you been showing your concern and your support? That's what the family of God's for. That's what the church is for. You say, oh, Pastor Caleb, I've just been enjoying it. Well, now it's time maybe for you to bear one another's burden, somebody else's burden, and help somebody in the church. Your church needs you. Where are you? What will it cost you if you make the decision to stay in your seat? If you, like those yesterday, made the choice to not prepare, it'll cost you heaven. It'll cost you a glad reunion day. It'll cost you the peace that comes from having your sins removed. And it'll cost you the joy of being a part of an amazing family. I hope today, if you've been putting it off or you're unsure, that you won't wait another minute. Stand with me, if you would, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've been thinking about it, don't wait any longer. Don't give something in exchange for your soul. My, how shallow and empty a little bit of what we perceive to be embarrassment. Listen, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Everybody in this church is praying that you'll respond. Everybody in this church is excited, and you say, they think I'm already saved. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You just do what God wants you to do, and if you need to make that decision before it's eternally too late, don't give something in exchange for your soul. Don't let pride or some other cheap excuse of the devil keep you from responding. Church may be good, but I think God has reminded us today that His gift of His Son is the salvation of men. You do what God wants you to do. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Caleb, I don't know that I'm prepared to meet God. Would you show me by an uplifted hand and say, I'm in that boat. I don't know if I'm prepared to meet God. Would you be willing just to show me by an uplifted hand and say, that's me. I'm not prepared to meet God as you've talked about this morning. Would there be anybody? If you're here this morning and you say, God spoke to me and I know God, but I was challenged this morning to be thankful for what He's given me in the salvation that I have. I was challenged this morning to be part and an active participant in the church that God has given me to be a part of. If you're here this morning and God spoke to you in any way, would you show me by an uplifted hand and say, God spoke to me today. God spoke to me all over the auditorium. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd be with each and every heart here. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in the audience that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that they're not prepared for the day where they'll stand before You as judge, I ask You, God, that today they would get that settled, that they wouldn't give anything in exchange for their soul. I pray, God, that those of us who have experienced the joy of salvation and the burden of sin being lifted and the presence of peace that we have in our hearts, God, we would be thankful for it and express that to You. We ask this in Jesus' name.